It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech. Rafe Needleman from CNET joins Patrick Norton and Ayaz Akhtar. We'll talk about the new Google glasses. Are they real? Twitter spam? Is that for real? And the end of innocence for Macintosh users. It's all next on TWiT.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new Winamp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for TWiT is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 348, recorded April 8th, 2012, the Holiday Inn EULA. This Week in Tech is brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Meet easily with colleagues, even when traveling or working remotely, even with your iPad. For your free 30-day trial, visit GoToMeeting.com and use the offer code TWiT. And by Carbonite Online Backup, automatic, continuous, unlimited backup for your computer files. Only $59 a year. Try it free at Carbonite.com and use the offer code TWIT to get 2 bonus months with purchase. And by Gazelle, the easy way to sell or recycle your iPhones or your iPads. Any other gadget from your home or office, too. Don't just sell it, Gazelle it. Find out how much your gadget's worth at Gazelle.com. It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech, the show that covers the week's tech news. And we have a story of our very own sitting to my right here, Mr. Patrick Norton. Proud papa. Congratulations. And not only that, you brought Tristan and Sarah came.
Yeah, and Seamus.
Along with Seamus.
We lost Seamus to Phineas and Ferb.
That's a good thing. Nothing wrong with that. Phineas and Ferb is the TWiT for the four and under set.
Pretty much. Yeah. What are we going to do today?
and Tristan, who is a week old.
Yes.
It is beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful. And I can't believe that Sarah is up and about and just looking great.
Sarah was up and about the day the baby was born.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm impressed.
Yeah. She was just like hassling the doctors. Like, can I go now?
It's been, I'm 12, out of
it's
here.
Been 12 and a half hours.
I'm
she
done.
Said I could go in 12
I'm
hours.
It's been so done. Yeah.
Well, that was also because when we had Seamus, they had two nurses, one for Sarah and one for Seamus, and they had this really amazing system going where 29 minutes after Nurse A woke up Sarah and Seamus to take Seamus's vital, Nurse B would show up and wake up Sarah and Seamus to take Sarah's vital. So they had it really worked so that everybody got woken up every 30 minutes.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it? Yeah. You really do want to get out of there, don't you? Yeah. Anyway, congratulations
Thank
to both
you
of you. It's so great. Such Thank great you. News. That Norton family is growing. Growing. I remember going to your wedding and tweeting pictures of it against your will.
No, one picture was fine. They just all ended up on a guy's website in Oklahoma helping to make his eBay. No. It's awesome because it's someday I will be driving through Oklahoma again and I will make a pit stop.
And he will learn the wrath of Norton. What was the year that you got married? 2004. So it wasn't Twitter. I think, you know what, it was I moblogged them. I put them on my moblog. Whatever happened to moblogging? That's what happened to moblogging. Also with me from CNET and the Editor's Roundtable, Mr. Rafe Needleman, good to have you.
Good to be here.
You were at that sad day this week, the last Buzz Out Loud.
Oh, yeah. That was weepy.
It was weepy. Tom was there and...
Jason was there.
Jason was there, of course, and as was Veronica and Molly.
Yeah. It was very emotional. That was 1,588 episodes.
Wow.
I know.
We got a long way to go before we catch up.
Well, just start now.
Yeah. We are.
Okay.
Molly's going to go on and do another show.
Yeah, she's doing the show called Always On, which looks like a lot of fun. We've seen the trailer.
Cena kind of backed off the live stuff, but they're still doing plenty of...
We're doing a ton of shows. Yeah. I'm doing Reporters Roundtable, which I'm on like episode 115 or something.
Right.
Is a weekly show, and that was live, but now it's going to recorded.
You know, we've discovered this. I put a bet on live because I want people to watch live. I think people will watch live, but it's expensive and it's not necessary.
It depends. Because most of our almost all of our views are downloads. I mean,
I like the flexibility of doing a recorded show because I can get guests whenever they're available.
Right. Yeah, we have to have you here at 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon.
But I'm going to miss have the chat room. Even no matter how
that's
big
what I
or small
like.
It is, the live studio audience
I agree with you.
Makes all the difference in kind of the pace of the show. So I'm going to miss that.
That is I think that's the real argument for doing live is the interactivity.
Yeah, it makes the show. It's just a different show.
Right. But it is much more complicated and costly. And really, it's a small number of people that watch live. We have, I don't know, how many thousand, maybe a couple 3,000 right now watching. We'll get to maybe 5 or 6 before the end of the show. It's not a big number compared to the overall downloads. Yeah.
Right.
But does Texilla, you were streaming live off and on.
We did it once in a while. It was DLTV we did live, but it was kind of funny because there was always like, you should do it live. And I was like, well, we always do it live because we do it to a TriCaster and we have to do it in one take because we can't edit it before we post it out. But it was so funny because I remember explaining to people, especially from the magazine side, it's like, okay, we got 5,000 people watching live. We're going to get 500 to 2,500 downloads for every person watching live.
Right, exactly. And, it's a small number. I like it because I like to have that. You know me. I like live TV.
Yeah.
Gives a certain energy. I also like it that you can't force us to do a second take because it's done. It's done. And I don't want to do another take.
Well, there's also the whole, like, if things go sideways, they go unbelievably sideways.
Right.
And everybody, like, I remember somebody like that. What happens when you make a mistake at work? Well, I clean it up. See, when I make a mistake at work and it's live,
everybody's
I've shared it with thousands or hundreds of thousands of
people. Who can forget that time that you opened up a hard drive and took a hammer to what turned out to be glass platters inside? Nobody knew that.
Right.
And it's lucky that I didn't lose an eye, but I didn't. Next time I'm going to wear eyewear.
You got much better about wearing eye protection.
Also with us, Iyaz Akhtar, who is one of our hosts on TNT. And Iyaz and I are going to be launching a new show a couple of weeks from now. Patrick, don't feel bad, but Iyaz is going to play the role of Patrick Norton.
Yeah, I'm working on that. I'm not going to be using a sledgehammer. I'm going to be using a spudger because everything's all sealed in there.
It's all about spudging.
And a heat gun to make sure I can unglue everything.
What are you going to be doing?
We're going to do a how-to show, kind of like you and me, where he's going to break glass in my eyes, things like that. It'll be fun.
Well, that's why I already have eyewear, so it's
One of the things that one of the reasons I built the studio is I really wanted to have the space. And, you know, you guys on Twitch, every time you're in studio with Ryan Shroud, it turns into the screensavers, where it's that real kind of here's how it works. Here's look inside this box.
You got like 23 cameras in here.
Yeah, so we can do it here finally. So we want to do a help and how-to show, and I has been pitching it for a while, and so we're going to launch that. I won't say the name until we reserve the domain.
Okie doke. Let's hold off on that.
I've learned my lesson, but I'm excited. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Let's see. Lots to talk about this week. It is Easter Sunday as we record, so I thank you for being here, and we have provided peeps for anybody who wants some of Cadbury eggs.
Are these real ones, or are they from the? I saw the New York Times story this morning on how they make these.
Well, it's pretty obvious,
isn't
it?
It's not pretty.
The hole opens from the seventh level of hell, and the peeps march out every spring.
You can tell, even, you know, I think the whole thing about peeps was they designed the process first, and then they named them later.
Yeah, it was probably an industrial accident. They stuck eyes on it.
We can still put eyes on it. Yeah. And they said it's made out of sugar. What could go wrong?
That's right.
Plus, naming them poops just wouldn't make them fly off the shelves.
So go ahead. Have all the peeps you want. We'll make more.
Patrick.
Anybody? I am in sugar shock. I've been eating candy all day, and I am just literally, I'm insulin high here or low.
Curtis P. is right. They should do an Angry Birds version of these. They could reinvigorate the brand.
Angry Peeps.
There are Angry Birds candies. I saw at the convenience store.
I have sure
them. I was like, no.
I saw them at a Walgreens. I couldn't not buy them. It was like, please take my money.
There's going to be an Angry Birds movie.
There already was.
Theme parks.
Wasn't there?
No. Rio? Like a feature film.
Yeah.
That there already was?
Well, Rio was based on
Rio is not Angry Birds.
You're right.
They made
an
Angry Birds Rio, but there's going to be an actual Angry Birds the movie.
Oh, is that the Hitchcock
one? How
can
they push this?
Yo, wouldn't that be good? With Hitchcock. Tippi Hedren? That'd be good.
Birds. James Cameron directing.
I would like that. We are going to be, going to NAB next week. One more program note. I'm doing a whole week of shows starting the 16th, 17th, 18th, and I think the 19th we're going to do some shows from the National Association of Broadcasters show. Lots of gear there, lots of stuff. That'll be a lot of fun. We're the official streaming partner. Tuesday, I'm doing an event with New Tech called Broadcast Minds. Kevin Pollack will be there and a number of others. We're going to talk about you guys would be interested in this, internet TV, doing it on the cheap. If you want to find out more, I think in order to go to this, you have to reserve a seat. You can go to newtech.com. Do you know what the URL is, Eileen? I think it's.
Don't.
Let me see if newtech.com broadcast minds works.
I can tell you that our schedule is on our inside.twitter.tv page.
We have free passes to the NAB show as well. So if you go there, you can use the pass. But you do need to reserve this Tuesday, April 17th, 6 to 8. We will stream it live. But did you see who was going to be there? Kevin Pollak? Of course, they've changed it already. Wait a minute. Let me go back. Jeff Jacobs, Bill Chapman, Jeff Hawley. It's going to be a very interesting event, and we will stream it as well. Some really interesting people. Kevin's, of course, the comedian who does Kevin's chat show. Jeff Jacobs is the senior vice president for MTV for production planning. Bill Chapman from Turner Broadcasting. Jeff Hawley from Yamaha. So how to do TV, the future of TV. That's fun. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to that. All right, enough of that. Let's get to the news. The top story. Nokia and Microsoft introduced brand new Lumia 900 in stores today. The stores
are closed.
Are closed. What the heck were they thinking?
It's okay. There's no apps anyway.
My friend Paul Thurrott, who does our Windows Weekly show, tweets, "That's it. I give up." He's so frustrated. What the heck? No lines. You know, opportunity for lines. I love this phone.
It's really?
Have you played with it?
It's a nice phone.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's a nice interface.
It feels good. It's a 4.3-inch OLED screen. It's a gorgeous screen.
You're about to explode, right?
Why don't you like it?
I'm about to melt. I haven't actually, fair disclosure, I haven't actually tried this particular phone, but I have another Windows phone. Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't like the OS, is what you're
saying. It's not true. I think the OS is really beautiful and different, which is great. It's just, without the apps, it's impossible to get excited about it.
85,000 apps. There's plenty of apps. There's no Pandora. There's no Instagram. There's Angry Birds, but only one Angry Birds. I mean, there's apps. There's Evernote. There's a lot of apps there.
There is Evernote, which makes it okay.
It's in better shape than Android was when it launched. Compared to iPhone, where iPhone was when Android started picking up steam.
Yes, but when Android launched, there was no Android. So these guys are kind of...
They've been around for a little longer than... I think what David Polk said I thought was fairly interesting. He actually did a good review in which he talks about... He says it's two underdogs produce. Is it in time? But he talks about the big complaint, which is the app complaint, and lists the apps that he uses on his iPhone. Of course, he's an iPhone user. That are there and the apps that aren't there. So he says many of the essentials are there. Netflix, IMDb, Flickster, Yelp, OpenTable, check-in apps from Delta and American Airlines, Groupon, Foursquare, Kindle, Spotify, Twitter, Facebook. But then, you know, he says the only bank is Bank of America. No American Express, no HSBC, no Capital One, no Chase, no Citibank, no Words with Friends. You know, so it is a hit and miss thing. Mm-hmm. I think that this phone is spectacular. I mean, I think it's very nicely made. It's got a great camera. It feels good.
You think the phone is really good? I mean, Nokia didn't bother to put in anything fancy. It's the same old hardware in another body, in a big plastic shape.
I think blame Microsoft on that. You know why? Because Microsoft is, and they're responding to the fragmentation in the Android market. They have very specific standards.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There is no dual core Windows phone. It's the screen resolution is what? It's 800 by 940. It's not. Because it's a Windows phone, and Microsoft's controlled this.
Nokia doesn't need fancy. Nokia needs a product that's actually bought by a bunch of people at this point. And so does Microsoft.
So what drove me nuts is that this is their flagship phone. This is their premium brand one, and it's only $99. And I know that's
affordable.
It's affordable, but if this is your top of the line thing, maybe it should look like it's in line with the other stuff. Kind of anchor the price, and then the $800 is the $99.
At this point, Nokia doesn't want us. They don't want somebody. The worst person.
Who
for them
do
is,
they want? Is
they don't
the question.
Want you because you buy a phone every 6 months. Although they would like to have you.
No, I should buy a Nokia phone every.
They want is like a whole slew of people to go out and start buying their phones.
They're doing the Google strategy.
Yeah.
They want dozens of manufacturers, hundred thousands of apps sold on all the carriers everywhere. And that's a strategy that has worked for Android, and they want to do it without the fragmentation.
Who is the market for a Windows phone?
Everybody.
Yes.
Everybody who's not going to spend $400 on an iPhone.
I don't think anybody who's ever used an iPhone is the market. In fact, Walt Mossberg made that point, which is if you're used to doing it the iPhone way, Android is fairly similar. The Windows operating system is so different that you will be at sea immediately.
But Android is can be a very frustrating. I mean, I like Android. Android can be a very frustrating experience. Fragmentation, UI inconsistencies.
So they might get some Android people who are frustrated with the Android ecosphere.
They might get people who would otherwise go to Android. Right. As everybody,
they're never going to get an iPhone user. I think it's mostly aimed at people who have not purchased a smartphone yet.
Yes, but which is still a lot of people.
You know, and Android and Android and iOS have basically destroyed the RIM market. They've taken out smartphones are 50% of the phones sold in America right now. That means there's 50% of the people buying phones right now are still buying traditional cell phones. That means there's
that's a big market.
There's a huge number of people who don't want to say, Rafe said it, they don't want to spend $400. They don't want to spend $300. $100, they know Windows. Hey, why don't I try it? That looks really cool.
Something this is really going to take off when Windows 8 finally hits and you see all this tiles, the tiles everywhere. When you go, oh, this looks familiar. I already know this. Right. And it's like, it's almost as if Microsoft's got this reverse. They have to teach with the phone first and then go with the operating system. Mm-hmm. When that operating system hits, and I think it's late this year, then people will go, oh, this looks really familiar. I get this. And I think that's when it's really, it's got a better chance. But right now, it's just kind of like floundering while we're waiting around.
So that's
I don't think it's floundering. I think what's going to happen is going to hit as 100. By Christmas, this is going to be like $50 or $25 or a gimme on the sign up for the cell phone service. And then they're going to have another phone that's going to come out that's going to step it up. Or they're not going to care. They want volume at this point. Nokia is used to huge, massive volume, and that's really what they care about.
Everything I said bad about Windows Phone, at $50, I take it all back.
Well, $50 at Walmart right now.
That's an amazing deal.
And that's the Walmart audience, isn't it? Is somebody who might wander in who has a Nokia candy bar phone, and you still see them everywhere.
My mom.
Who might say, gee, I'd really like to, say, use Twitter. Twitter is really starting to appeal to a very mass audience. Mm-hmm. I'd like to use Twitter. Can't do it on the candy bar phone. Oh, I could do it on this phone. It's $50. Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah.
What they don't see, though, is this data, you know, this sudden jump in their bill, monthly bill, because they're now going to be paying for a data plan. It's another $30.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are sensitive to that. I would guess that most of the people who don't have a smartphone because they don't want to pay for the data plan, not because they don't want to pay for the phone. Maybe.
I don't know. People still get so hung up on the retail price of the phones.
There's free Android phones, aren't there? Yes.
Yeah.
They're crap, but we know that. But they don't know that.
Yeah, people still get hung up on that, even though you're right. The real cost is in the data plans.
Yeah.
The real profit is in the data plans.
Yeah, no kidding.
The Lumia is 800 by 480, as are all Windows phones. Mm-hmm. Compare that to the iPhone 960 by 640 or the Android phones that are now 1200 by 720. I mean, that's 800 by 480 is, but you know what? It looks great. You don't notice.
But see, again, this is Microsoft's chosen partner, right? They could have done something different. They could say future-proof this phone. That right now we can only take advantage of that one core, but in 1 year or less than a year when we come out Windows Phone 8, this phone will still be relevant because this is not going to be relevant when Windows Phone 8 comes out. This thing is going to be just deprecated entirely. It's going to get in the hands of people at that price, but at what cost in your future? I mean, the thing is, this is not a future-proof phone. This is good for right now. No phone is future-proof.
Well, isn't that a bit of an iPhone in 4 years?
Well, isn't that a bit of a problem?
I'm at one, though.
Okay.
That's the thing. I don't buy phones very often.
But that's a huge problem because no matter what phone you get, it's going to be out of date long before your 2 year contract is up.
Yeah, right. That's what should change. Phone companies, I would love to see that change. You know, because the phones and updating people's phones is actually a very good thing to do for the telcos because they get more data use. They get more use overall. The apps guys sell more apps. So why we're still on a two-year cycle in this country is just nutso.
Well, and I had thought that Microsoft was really making an effort to change the way cell phone companies work. They, you know, one of the problems is holding back Windows Phone is that AT&T just wasn't recommending it. Mm. If you go into an AT&T store, they'd sell you an iPhone. Much more likely to sell you an iPhone than even mention the Windows Phone. And I heard from lots of people who went in to say, I want to buy a Windows Phone. They said, no, you don't. You want to buy an iPhone or maybe an Android phone, but you definitely don't want a Windows Phone. Microsoft's trying to change that. They're giving big payouts to employees. They're giving phones to employees. They're pulling the strings. And then AT&T says, and by the way, day one, Easter Sunday, when no stores are open. No lines. Guaranteed, because nobody's open. And it just shows that you can try all you want. These cell phone companies have tin ears. They don't care. They don't care. They hate you all more than you know. They hate us all.
We can all agree on.
I want to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the hottest fashion accessory. We'll all be wearing these sometime next year. Are you excited about Google Glasses? I can just see you in a pair of Google Glasses.
I think it's a wonderful concept. Actual engineers say they're 2 years out, max.
Robert Scoble was hanging out with Sergey Brin, and Sergey was wearing them.
Yeah, did Sergey let Robert put them on?
No, he didn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder why that
Jordy's
is.
Visor.
you think they were non-functioning? He was just wearing these ugly glasses around?
I'm not that cruel, but it wouldn't entirely surprise me.
We'll talk about it in just a bit. The Google Glasses are here, but first, a word from our friends at Citrix and GoToMeeting. Do you work in a company? Are all the employees in the same building? Rarely, right? Nowadays, we've got colleagues, clients all over the world. It's almost impossible to have a meeting unless you use an online meeting service, and GoToMeeting is the best. Share screen, yes, but even better, video. HD Faces. This is something new in GoToMeeting, and it's just fantastic. If you visit GoToMeeting.com, you can actually see it in action. The HD Faces works with the camera in your computer or, this is new, in the iPad. So you can actually attend a meeting from the iPad using the iPad camera, the iPad headphones, the iPad microphone, and you can join this meeting, and people will see you. And I got to tell you, seeing your clients and colleagues is so important. We're attuned to seeing facial, expressions. We're attuned to body language. Those things mean so much. And when you're pitching somebody, a frown or folded arms or a smile means everything. So GoToMeeting is really kind of exciting. It's a very cool way to make those meetings come to life. I want you to try it free for 30 days, including the HD Faces. Just go to the website, GoToMeeting.com. Click this orange try it free button. The offer code is TWIT, T-W-I-T. When you sign up, you'll get 30 days free. And by the way, the iPad app is free. You don't have to pay extra for that. So it's all part of it. GoToMeeting.com, try it free button, that orange button, and use the offer code TWIT for 30 days free. Really the best way to meet. And now that it's got iPad, you could be meeting anywhere. You could be in the John, frankly. I wouldn't recommend it. Don't flush, anyway, because that's rude. So, how long before GoToMeeting's on Google Glasses? You've seen all the parodies of Google Glasses videos, have you? Have you seen the original video, the Google Glasses video?
It's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's totally bogus, right? Except that it was in the New York Times, which gives it some credibility.
I like the write-up on The Verge where basically, quote, there's no evidence that Brin's unit was fully functional, the one Sergey Brin was wearing. Robert Scoble said that he saw light being emitted from it, but he wasn't able to try it on himself. Indeed, Brin commented to Verge that it was basically just reboots right now.
Well, that's not good. It ties into a phone, or does it have its own software? It's funny that he was wearing it at a foundation for fighting blindness. You know, that looks really like a raw prototype. Is it shining? Okay, here's my question. When you look at the video, it looks like it's a heads-up display.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but it doesn't look like it. I mean, it looks like he's looking past it. So is it? Well, I hope it's not beaming stuff into my retina.
No, you're looking. I mean, you can make it so.
You look up to see the display?
So it's just. I mean, that's looks like it's hovering over a part of your vision, which means it will. No, it won't vanish. Because every time your eyes move,
yeah,
you see it.
So I'm curious. Maybe that's problem number numero uno. Yeah. Let me show you.
I don't think the optical problem is that big a deal.
Okay,
because
it can be solved.
We have, you know, I mean, you see these guys in the Apache helicopters with those giant
right.
headsets.
Yeah,
you know, so you just
but that's a giant headset.
I know, but
it's miniaturization.
I like what PC were like wired when too much people. They went to Blair McIntyre, the director of the Augmented Environments Lab at Georgia Tech. Quote in one. Simple fake video. Google has created a level of overhype and overexpectation that their hardware cannot possibly live up to.
I'm with you.
So, and he may be doing that just to piss off the engineers and make them actually deliver the product, because if anybody can spend their way to delivering this product, it's Google.
But that's actually a very true point, that this product, I don't believe, is undoable not very long. I mean, optically, right. That's solvable.
It's dumb for Sergey Brin to wear them today, though, because is it work?
We're talking about it.
He's an excited geek.
If anybody's going to have a version that's close to working, it would be him. Yeah. So it would be like to somebody at the lower end, like, oh, yeah, you go test that one that works really well. Sergey wants it. Yeah, he's going to get one that almost works and reboots. So
and it doesn't have to be optical recognition.
Here's a redo of the original Google video. The guy gets up. He's wearing the glasses, and he's walking around. He sees coffee, and then
this is the original.
Actually, this is the original.
It's working well.
It does look like it's a heads-up display on life. So it's giving him the weather and the temperature. He looks. He's eating a sandwich, and somebody says, "You want to meet up today?" And he can reply just by speech. Says, "Meet me in front of the bookstore." This is the sanitized Google version.
Mm-hmm. I've got the parody.
Do you have the parody? Yeah. Here's the parody version. Yeah. Same idea.
It's really, really short.
Oh, no, not this arsehole.
Oh, wait a minute. This is another one. He keeps running into people. There's ads. It's hitting people because the ads are taking over his vision. What? The police request access to your life log. This request cannot be declined. That's one. And then there's another one where it just pops up AdSense everywhere,
which
seems much more likely.
What's the Minority Report moment that always struck me as being terrified is the ad, the billboards are reading, scanning his retina. Mm-hmm. You know, Leo Laborde, would you like to buy a pair of pants today? As he's walking through the mall.
Somehow I feel like that's...
Jimmy Kimmel has a good one, too, where the guy picks up the ukulele and then falls down a flight of stairs and breaks his arm.
This is, they call this augmented reality. Same idea, but... So he's having a cup of coffee. Now he gets a Starbucks ad. He's having an Egg McMuffin, a McDonald's ad. Of course, his girlfriend's named Jess, which means he's going to see a lot of ads for New Girl. Subway service suspended? Well, no problem. Let's find shoes. I think this is actually fairly realistic. I could totally see Google popping up AdSense ads as I wander
this
around.
It's the net zero approach, which is completely subsidized by all the ads.
It's
and
all
that's
subsidized.
The one you get, and you get free data forever.
Google will be more subtle than that. Yeah,
they won't do this until they can figure out a way to weld these things to your head so you can't take them off.
Right, because otherwise you'll throw them over the parapet in disgust.
Yeah.
I love so Jessica wants to talk.
Hey.
And she says, what's up? And now you get all these books with what's up in the title. He's playing the uke for her. Get ads for ukulele. Including, of course, an ad for New Girl. That just felt real to me. You can't get away from her. All right, so we think this is doable.
I think so.
But we also think this is stupid.
I don't know if it's... Okay, look, I love the idea of having that level of access to data. Right? Because everybody knows whether you're on Android or iOS or Windows, all the interfaces are perfectly worked out. They're easy. They're accessible. They don't interfere with your ability to drive a car or anything, right? Yeah, everybody's...
Sure.
No, I think it's a great idea. I would love to actually see it in the wild.
I want the cocktail party version of this. When I go into a room and I forget your name...
That's
and
what I want.
This is Patrick.
As we all get older, this is Patrick. He has two children, Tristan and Seamus. His wife's name is Sarah. His birthday. And then and then I can say, Patrick. There'll be a slight lag.
But that's a job category.
Patrick. Yeah, that's right. That's my assistant over my shoulder, but now it's in my glasses. But I would like that. I would love to have, because I can't remember people's faces, and that would be really nice to
the
have.
The problem is I'm envisioning this where I'd be like, you know, tell Bob I'll meet him at 3, Ibble Orf, and at 7.
Well, that we already have.
Yeah.
That's called Siri.
Well, Siri, make me a sandwich. I can't do that right now.
I've been using Siri a lot because, I just want to give it a shot. And it's the real problem with Siri is it's too good. And then when it doesn't work, which is about half the time, it makes me mad because it should work. And the other thing is you're adding stuff to your grocery list and you have to wait like 30 seconds while it confirms it, spells it wrong. And by the time you're done, it's like, I should have just written this on a piece of paper. This is Larry Page's conclusion of his first year as CEO. He has written a nice little email to the investors, his 2012 update. It has been a very mixed year for Google, and I don't know if we can give Larry an A-plus in his tenure as a CEO. This is the year Google launched Google Plus, killed a lot of kind of moribund projects, but it's also the year it got a lot of black marks.
Privacy.
For breaking iOS's, privacy, for the Kenya thing. I mean, there have been a number of really nasty stories about Google this year.
The iOS thing seemed like it was just a workaround, and they were just stuck with this Safari, didn't do what they wanted to do, and they got around it. I'm sure a lot of sites did that. Google gets the worst news about it because they're Google and they're watching you. Everything you're doing is evil. But I mean, it's only been a year. And the thing is, when I saw when Page was going to take over at all, taking over for Schmidt, I'm like, well, can this company survive now? Because Schmidt was a totally different guy.
Well, he's done better than, yeah, you're right. He's done better than you maybe thought he was going to do.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, like, let's put an engineer in charge after having a business guy in charge for a very long time. You know, they basically put a grown-up in charge for years. And it's like, okay, well, you go back and take it over. I was actually really surprised that it worked as well as it did.
This is a great article from Kim Mike Cutler in TechCrunch. Larry's year by the numbers. 30 products killed. 100 million active Google Plus users. That's a brand new product for them. 850,000 Android devices activated each day. Mm-hmm. And that may be out of date. 55 Android manufacturers, 300 carriers, 200 million Chrome users, 350 million Gmail users, 800 million YouTube users. And, of course, the latest on YouTube is 24 hours of video. Up. Is that what it is, 24 hours every minute?
Something like that, yeah. Now in 3D.
They have 3D now?
They're auto-converting stuff to 3D.
Oh, God.
The short-form 1080p clips will be automatically turned into 3D. It was a beta feature, and they decided to make it for everybody.
I honestly thought it was a joke.
It's just a couple of days after April Fool's. It's like,
that's the problem. You can't tell.
Yeah.
Half of the stuff Google, like these glasses, half the stuff they do could be a joke.
I'm skeptical of this 100 million Google Plus user thing. I bet they count me, and they shouldn't. I go in like once every month when somebody flags my name.
How many people go into Facebook every day? What percentage of their users?
Well, the problem with Google Plus is like,
really?
You're a user of Google Plus if you just sign up for a Gmail account. It's automatic.
Right.
So it's not, I don't know if it's meaningful.
Well, there's 350 million something Gmail users, at least 350 million Gmail users.
Well, they all have Google Plus accounts now.
But they're only counting 100 million Google Plus users. I don't know how they count them. I mean, they know better than we do, but I don't know. Do you use Google Plus a lot?
I was really excited when it came out. The discussions were great and so forth. But it kind of got dominated by animated GIFs and, just a few people. And frankly, I've kind of gotten a little less interested. And I don't use it as much. You know what's funny? I hate to admit it because I was really a naysayer. But Facebook seems to be the platform at this point.
It's getting there.
I keep end up using Google Plus because that stupid little red one or two will be up
there.
Can't
miss it.
With my Gmail. And I'm just obsessive about it. So I have to keep pressing. What are they saying? What's going on? Right. It's like, oh, that was useless. But that counted. I pushed the button because I'm like OCD.
The Google psychologists have got your number.
They got me. It's got a nice white background. And then there's a red thing. That can't
must
be there.
Click red
must
buttons.
Click red things. Yes, shiny red button.
One thing Google did this year that is getting some discussion is they started charging some of the biggest users for using Google Maps.
Whoops.
Foursquare stopped. Apple, very noticeably, in their iPhoto app, used OpenStreetMaps with their own dressing, and now Wikipedia has announced they're going to start using OpenStreetMap, the open source version. They should have used it all along instead of Google Maps.
There wasn't a lot to use in the early days of OpenStreetMaps.
Couldn't use it?
The reason this all works is because the economics of mapping have been changing. Mapping has become wiki-like, and it didn't used to work that way. You used to need something like Google in order to do a mapping enterprise.
And it's very expensive. But that's what's cool about OpenStreetMaps. It is the Wikipedia of mapping.
Yeah.
It's contributed by people who have GPSs. They'll drive around. It automatically gets uploaded. If you look at your neighborhood and something's wrong, you say, no, that's a one-way.
It's one of those things that you don't think could possibly work.
And it does.
It's spectacular.
It works. I love OpenStreetMaps. So Google started charging in March between $4 and $10 per additional 1,000 loads to any site loading more than 25,000 maps a day, which is probably a lot of sites. And, of course, Wikipedia decided, well, we shouldn't have to pay for that. But I frankly think it's a really good thing because, after all, it's the Wikipedia of mapping.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense for them.
A lot of apps are starting on iPhone are starting to use OpenStreetMaps. I think it's a great...
Well, Apple obviously wants to get it off the Google crack.
So right.
Yeah, they're doing it.
Yeah.
And they can afford it, but they can't afford to be in Google's pocket.
I think there will come a time sooner than later that the iPhone has no Google on it at all. I think that's their goal, right? Although, another interesting story, Larry Page, the day before his anniversary, gave an interview to Business Week magazine, and one of the things he said is, oh, the Apple thing, it's all theater. Apple doesn't really hate us. It's designed to rally the troops. It's not, don't look in your notes. I'm making this up as I go along. No, Larry, if you go to Larry Page, Business Week, you can see the interview. Larry does not give a lot of interviews. I have a feeling this is one of the things his advisor said. You got to talk. So the April 3rd, the day before his one-year anniversary, gave the interview. And he says, basically, in fact, it's in the second page. It's right at the bottom, or the last page here. Brad Stone, formerly of the New York Times, now at Business Week, asked the right question. He says that he asked him, did you go to talk to Stephen Jobs for advice? According to Steve Jobs' biography, when you became CEO, you went to Jobs for advice. I know you had your differences at the end around Android, but what did you take from him as a mentor and a friend? And then Larry kind of offhandedly says, well, I think the Android differences were actually for show. He talks about his relationship with Steve. And then Brad says, wait, the fury around Android was for show? Yeah, I think that served their interests. For a lot of companies, it's useful for them to feel like they have an obvious competitor and to rally around that. I personally believe it's better to shoot higher. You don't want to be looking at your competitors. You want to be looking at what's possible and how to make the world better. Yeah, like Google's not looking at Facebook.
Right. Hello, Google Plus.
Yeah. Oh, no, we didn't think about Facebook. So do you think that's credible that you know, because Steve Jobs basically said, I will spend every penny in our considerable coffers, mm-hmm. and I will work to my dying day to destroy Android. He said that.
It's probably a little of both. I mean, it is an effective rallying cry to engineers and everybody at a company to say this is enemy number one.
Right.
Yeah, but even Walter Isaacson said that. But, he's like, I don't know what Larry Page is talking about. No, Jobs hated them. I don't know what he didn't understand. But, I mean, I could see it being both ways. I mean, Jobs would go every which way in personality.
He'd pull every lever he could,
right?
Yeah,
so, like, I mean, even with iOS team fighting the Mac OS team happens right now, right. Let alone with the original development of the Mac, where he's like, I'm going to split you guys up, and I'm going to make you fight each other. It would be easy to go, those guys, fight those guys, and then also still go, yeah, whatever.
But how would the first iPhone, how would the maps have worked if there was no Google Maps?
Right.
I mean, things change.
Are they going to go to Nokia and get the Nokia maps?
What Telenav
are they?
Or whatever it was. They needed each other. They still need each other to an extent. And over time, the companies try to pull apart from each other. It's going
to
happen.
I'm willing to bet Safari makes a considerable amount of money using Google Search, as we know Firefox does because of the Google Search bar. That's a hard thing to give up that $100 million or two a year, even if you're a multi-billion-dollar company.
I don't know. I think Steve Jobs said anything he needed to say at any given moment to get the result he wanted for the vision in his head.
Yeah.
Period.
And it's very famously, it was at an all-hands meeting that he said, Google stole Android from us. That was to rally the troops. On the other hand, when he's saying to Walter Isaacson, literally on his deathbed, I will spend every dollar I have to kill Android.
Yeah.
That sounds real. That doesn't sound like something he's saying for effect.
Well, if he wanted to spend every dollar to kill Android, selling these high-end phones, they've got such different strategies. I mean, the Android strategy is to get it out to everyone.
Right.
And the Apple strategy is to control the market and have the
total control the experience.
And the experience. They're totally different. They're completely different ideas.
But they're both phones. Nobody who's going to want an iPhone is going to want an Android phone and vice versa.
What?
Is there much overlap, you think, in the markets? I don't think so. I use both. But
I don't know. I think as a geek, I mean, the iPhone's experience is so beautiful and the Android experience is so flexible. So
right.
There is a bit of a, I don't know which one I'm going to be today.
No, I use a Galaxy Note. Some days I get up and I take the Galaxy Note. Some days I take the iPhone.
I think it's funny. The reason why I think Android even picked up any steam was because the iPhone was exclusive to AT&T. So you go to Verizon and go, what do you got that's like the iPhone? We have this.
Right.
Thing. Like, okay, touchscreen, okay. Right. Got Facebook, Twitter, check. You have all these check marks. Like, close enough.
Angry Birds, got it.
A lot
it.
Of people were like, that's good enough for me. And then Apple waited for a very long time before they put out their phone everywhere. Now it's still picking up steam with Sprint and all these local carriers getting it too.
Yeah.
That's just how Nokia is going to take over the smartphone
market. Yeah, right.
With Windows. What do you got that's like this? No, it's not like it at all.
All right, we're going to take a break. We've got a great panel from CNET, Mr. Rafe Needleman. This is the Reporters Roundtable. What are the other shows? Reporters Roundtable?
That we do?
Yeah. That you do. I do
Reporters Roundtable.
That's it.
And I do a Radio Minute on mobile apps on some of the CBS affiliates.
That's fun.
That's really fun.
Yeah. Do you pick an app every day or?
App a week.
A week.
I'm working up to one a day.
You know, my syndicators want me to do one a day. It's I can't do a minute a day. I mean, that's too much work.
There's enough apps, I'll tell you that.
That's true.
Yeah. There's so many bad ones. I would love to do one a day.
That's a good
dig
point.
Dig into them, yeah.
Yeah. So do you only do the good ones? The crap app of the day.
Yeah. Oh,
I'll tell you what, you do the good app, and I'll do the crap app.
All right. No, I want to do the bad one. I'm too nice.
Well, see, that was good when it was, you know, because Molly would rant, and you'd be nice.
Mm-hmm. Cramp my style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to be nice. Also, Patrick Norton, proud new father. Tristan's over there. He's sleeping very nicely.
He's out.
He's out cold. I held him for a little bit. That was great.
Good share.
We're giving you Veronica back, by the way. You can have her. That's kind of a cold way to put it.
Wow.
I got a lot of tweets because we canceled Game On, which is the show she was doing for us. Oh, wow. You didn't hear about that. Yeah. I got a lot of tweets saying, what will Veronica do? And I had to reply, well, I think she has a day job called Techzilla.
Yeah.
And she's fabulous in it.
Sword and Laser.
And Sword and Laser.
Sword and Laser.
Have you seen the Have you gone over here to see the Sword and Laser set with the mechanical dragon?
Yeah.
This is like Jaws.
And like Space Mead Hall Bar.
Yeah, she doesn't need us. She doesn't need us.
Every castle needs an airlock.
Yeah, it's got an airlock.
Yeah.
It's a dungeon with it. So you've been over there too.
I saw the trailer, yeah.
Did you beam in? You can beam in. Next time you don't have to drive up here, just beam in.
That would save me a lot of gas.
Sword and Laser set. It's got its own transporter. Game On was really expensive, and it wasn't getting traction. And so, as much as I love it, and it's really breaking my heart. I just, you know what? I always said we'd never do gaming. I wish I'd listened to myself. It's just it's a hard nut to crack.
It's an enormously difficult market.
You guys do Revision 3 does some gaming shows.
We do. We also
and you have success with them.
The biggest gaming websites out
there. That's the problem. I can't compete.
Destructoid helps as a brand when you're moving to the gaming market.
I can't help. I can't compete. However, are going to launch a great new show. And
it's not gaming.
It's not gaming.
Not at all.
It's not gaming. Iaz will be the host, and I will be the interlocutor.
Yeah. Whatever that word means, sure.
That's what I'll be.
I'll be.
Iaz also reports on news Monday through Friday on TNT with Tom and Sarah. Actually, before we go much farther, speaking of TNT, are you curious? Would you like to know what stories you'll be covering
I'd love to know what we're going to talk about next week.
Let's find out. Mr. Tom Merritt.
Hey, thanks, Leo, and thanks to John for filling in for me last week. Coming up in the week ahead on Tech News Today, today, Sunday, April 8th, AT&T begins unlocking off-contract iPhones. The HTC Titan comes to AT&T for $200, and the big one, the Nokia Lumia 900, launches for $99.99. Coming up Tuesday, April 10th, Lenovo's K71 Smart TV, that's the one we saw at CES, is launching in China. And then looking a little farther down the week, Thursday, April 12th, Google has its earnings call. Sony's new chief, Kaz Hirai, will outline their new strategy, and it's Yuri's night. Yuri Gagarin became the first human in space in 1961 on April 12th. All that and more coming up on Tech News Today this week. Back to you, Leo.
It looks like Tom brought a gun to a knife fight or something. I don't know if you're saying that. What happened there? First of all, this is for video only. If you watched the show last week, you know what was going on. If you're watching video, if you're on audio, what are you talking about? This show brought to you today by Carbonite.com, automatic backup. I was just pricing some of the other guys who do cloud storage. Pretty typical, couple $100 a year for cloud storage. Carbonite does backup and gives you cloud storage, $59 a year. That's less than $5 a month. And it's not for 50 gigabytes or 100 gigabytes. It's for whatever's on your internal hard drive. $59 a year. Carbonite is backup done right. Anytime you're online, you're automatically, continuously backing up to the internet. So your data is always safe. You can access it even before disaster happens from any computer. You log onto your Carbonite account or they have a smartphone apps, they have tablet apps, and there's your stuff. So it's cloud storage plus backup. And if disaster, what am I saying? If, when disaster happens, you go to your Carbonite account, you log in, you restore it all just like that. You're always safe. If you've not been backing up, you've got to do it, and Carbonite's the way to do it right. Go to Carbonite.com. They've got the $59 plan is for your internal drive. If you have multiple drives or external drives or multiple computers, they have plans for that too. Just look at the different plans. Use our offer code TWIT to sign up for 2 weeks free, no credit card needed. Just TWIT. That's it. And then if you decide to buy, use TWIT again. You'll get 14 months for the price of 12. One of the features I know you smart people are interested in, Carbonite does support encryption. You keep the keys. They have no access to your data, so absolutely private, strong encryption along with everything else. You got to try it. Carbonite.com. Offer code TWIT. Don't come whining to me if you lose your data. I told you, Carbonite. I get calls every week on the radio show if somebody says, I lost everything. Woman called me. She said, I got a new computer. I gave my old computer to a friend. He said he'd back up all my data and give it to me, and he didn't. And I said, and you didn't have a copy? No. Okay. She said, it's been 8 months. Is there anything I could do? I said, no. What are you talking about? Of course not. You nuts? But then she said, I had a massive database with 360 records.
Ooh.
Ooh. In the era of big data, 360 records is not exactly massive. So, Macintosh, this is the end of innocence. I've proclaimed it before, but it really is now. According to security experts, Dr. Webb, which is a Russian security site, if that's not an oxymoron, I don't know what is. Dr. Webb has now detected over 600,000 Macs infected with flashback. 57% in the U.S., many of the rest in Canada. This was originally a Trojan horse that started last fall with a fake flash installer, but it's been morphing like crazy, and the latest version uses a hole in Java. A hole that was fixed by Oracle, which, of course, I remember bought Sun and isn't responsible for Java. In February, Apple didn't fix it till Wednesday. But they finally fixed it. If you have a Mac, you should probably run your update and get the latest Java. And meanwhile, if you go to F-Secure's website, they have a couple of terminal commands that will tell you whether you've been infected or not.
I don't know why they don't just build a little thing that does it, a little program. I mean, it's easy enough to do.
But. I'll tell you why. And there are. Dr. Webb has a program. The number of people have written Apple scripts and stuff. The problem is it's really risky. And I feel like Apple users are going to be more vulnerable to this because they've never – their innocence wandering in this terrible landscape that Windows users have been you know, suffering.
Battle-scarred Windows users.
And the problem is Windows users, no. You don't download a fix from a source that says, oh, yeah. You got the Trojan? Well, I got something. This will fix it for you. And you run the program, and the Trojan's still there, and you got some more. So it's always a little nerve-wracking to run a script. It's two terminal commands. It's very straightforward. But, yes, there are scripts out there. Dr. Webb has one.
Good.
If you trust a Russian security site.
What do you got against the Russians?
Nothing. It's just that it seems.
They write the viruses. They should know how to fix them.
Exactly. Exactly. They're virus virgins, says Wallfly in our chat room.
Very true.
You virus virgins.
It's kind of scary.
But this kind of also answers the question that has been going around for a long time. Are there no viruses on the Mac because it's inherently more secure or because nobody cares about the Mac? And it's not inherently more secure. I think we can acknowledge that, right?
At this point, I think at this point it would be enormously difficult to prove that one is more secure than the other. I think Windows is working a lot harder at it.
Well, I think that's what happened. I think that the virus authors said, well, I'm not going to spend any effort on a 5% platform like Macintosh.
It's such a rich ground. I mean,
it's such fertile territory.
But this is what's happening. It is very fertile. It might only be 5% of the market, you know,
well,
of
that's
Mac
the
users,
problem.
But these 5% of the users,
are
how many of them are running antivirus apps?
None
of them. Three of them.
And 80% or more of Windows users are now using antiviruses.
Yeah, it's free.
Windows users, as you say, are battle-scarred veterans. They know not to do some of these things.
And they're
things.
Used to their computers running slow, so they don't even notice.
That's why I think so much malware is being written for phones, really. I mean, that's the computer for everybody. You don't know what you're doing. You're like, I'm going to hit install.
Is there malware written for phones?
For Android, yes. Yeah, lots.
That's interesting because I have yet to see any big exploits.
You need to talk to the people over. Some friends of mine started Lookout Mobile Security.
Lookout's great. I use Lookout.
You should talk to those guys.
Well, but see, I never trust people like that because it's in their interest to scare people that there's viruses, right?
True.
But you know them and trust them.
I know John and those guys personally.
Okay. So I give them more credit now than I did.
You know, I mean, at some level, security people want you to buy security software, right? Especially on the Mac platform. Because if you go to, like, you know, one of the great Macworld moments is literally having somebody leap in front of me. Is your system protected? And I'm like, no.
No.
You should try this. It's going to save your life. That's a hard row of corn to hoe, you know, when you're trying to sell Mac antivirus.
Not anymore. It's a little easier.
It's a little bit easier.
600,000 infected Macs.
Do you have antivirus on your Mac?
At one point, I was running antivirus on my Mac.
But now? Who's here is using AV on their Mac?
I was. Not now.
I'm not. I'm thinking about it,
I don't use AV on any platform, though. Sophisticated users generally don't need AV because
right
they,
until that time somebody clicks on a page in your machine and you come
well,
back.
Well, you know, I don't let
got,
anybody use my machines, and I know what not to do. Right? If you know what not so to do, do you need any virus?
You sound like the perfect victim.
I am.
I know.
I'm wide
it's
open.
Like, here's this
folks.
USB flash drive. Yeah. Just use this all day.
I'm wide open for, but I have never got. I haven't had a virus in a decade.
One of the issues with the flashback Trojan was that like there's about 5 million links to these sites. So I think even some of them originated at D-Link, you know, the very famous.
Well, that's what happens. If you don't, if you aren't secure on your website, and I know about this because ours have been attacked, people can get in and they put stuff on there. So you go to a reputable site. D-Link didn't intentionally put any virus on there, but because their site was hackable, somebody was able to
That's the kind of thing, though. Even if you know what you're doing, you're like, I'm going to check the latest drivers for my D-Link router. You're like, oh, I clicked the wrong thing, and now I'm redirected because this was working off of Java, and you didn't have to do a whole lot to even get infected with this. But I believe the botnet was taken over by authorities anyway. So even if you
infected. It's pretty safe.
Yeah, so it's a lucky break, but if you were thinking you're in this Mac bubble and you're safe, you're not.
What, one of the cool things I heard about this virus is that when it was loading, first it would scan for antivirus, and if there was one, it would just abort, walk away, greener pastures.
Yeah, Little Snitch was the one it was looking for. Now, Little Snitch is kind of interesting because it's not a traditional antivirus. All it does is let you know if some program or process on your computer is trying to contact the outside world. And, of course, modern viruses, they have to do that. That's how they get their commands. They join a botnet. And so Little Snitch would be very effective, not in preventing the infection. You'd get the infection, but you'd get a warning. So as soon as it saw Little Snitch, Flashback said, never mind.
And somebody my own size.
So that, yeah. And that just shows you how it probably is a good idea to have a little something, something.
Yeah.
Little Snitch is a good program, but there are antivirus programs. And Tigo's been around for a long time. We have an advertiser, ESET, that makes a very good one. You use Dot for 32 on Windows, right? Or you've used it
back in the day,
yeah, and they have one for the Mac. Facebook ID threat, according to somebody on CNET, threatens. It's Don Reisinger. Threatens all iPhones and Dropbox. So this is nice. This is a Dropbox vulnerability.
What happens? What they're purporting here is that applications. If I get this right, phone apps that use Facebook login,
which they all do,
are exposing your login. The apps are exposing your login. They're not supposed to, but there's a flaw, and they do.
And
so
is this
Facebook
something
itself
that
is secure, but if you sign on to like what's that game, Draw Something,
right?
Then that using Facebook sign on there will expose. People can then get your Facebook credentials from that sign on.
And that is a flaw in iOS and Android.
I don't know if the flaw is in the OS or is the way Facebook handles its security. Or whatever, but it's patchable, which I guess they're doing.
Right.
But
it does. According to the Next Web, you don't have to be jailbroken.
Yeah. The original thinking and what Apple was it Apple or Facebook was
Facebook.
Saying was saying that you're only vulnerable if your phone is jailbroken. But then people checked and said no.
So apparently the Facebook token is saved in a plist on iOS, which is not secured.
Right.
So others could access the plist. At least that's what I'm reading. I may be misunderstanding.
Which highlights the whole problem of using third parties as authenticators.
Right.
I mean, they try really hard to be secure, but I guess it's harder than it looks.
Right.
And whether it's Facebook or Twitter or Google, you know, that you going onto any of those sites, totally secure.
I have to say, in modern mobile operating systems, the iOS is really a big culprit because Twitter is everywhere. Your Twitter authentication just kind of persists throughout the whole phone.
Yeah.
For instance, a new app, I installed a new app on my iOS and it says, I want to, can I access Twitter? And I say, yes, it doesn't have to ask me for anything because the iOS is already authenticated for Twitter. iOS authenticates it and says, yeah. Take his Twitter credentials. It's to be, enjoy.
Right. And that app
that makes me very nervous. And that app has access to Twitter.
Well, that app doesn't actually have access to your Twitter password.
No,
Twitter is managing.
It's got OAuth. It's got OAuth authentication, though, and that means it could read and write my Twitter feed. And I mean, this is the problem. I on the one hand, there's a real advantage to having single sign-on. It sure saves me time. And on a mobile platform, you don't want to be entering passwords every time you use an application. So the idea of connect through Facebook or connect through Twitter is great.
So now we're going to have passbook manager, or actual password managers inside of our cell phone operating system.
You know, our
you don't have one already.
Steve Gibson, our security guy on Security Now, on this week's Security Now, rated a bunch of password managers for iOS, and only a handful actually secure the password. The most of them are just either completely unsecured password stores or barely secured password stores. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got to be really – LastPass, which is something we've recommended for a long time, is fine.
Oh, thank God.
Thank God.
The Dropbox app for Android is secure now, and they're working on a fix for iOS. And that's another thing to do with, like, the Android marketplace. You can just put out a new fix immediately without having to deal with
– I know.
We're going to review this. Do we have to take this down or not? So,
right.
I mean, so Dropbox will work on their iOS fix right now. And Facebook, I don't know what their official position is right, other than they're saying jailbreaking is the problem. But
Wall Street Journal – Wall Street Journal, which we've talked about on this show before, really seems to be making a lot of hay, accusing others of being of failing us in privacy. I mean, they did the whole thing on cookies. Now they're talking about Facebook applications and how they might leak your data. And yet they did they looked at 100 Facebook applications and found no problem with any of them, and still went ahead with the story yesterday about how it could happen. And it just seems like there is also a certain amount of hysteria going on around this as well. And there's a lot of pressure on any publication that wants to generate clicks to say, oh, you're in trouble. Oh, it could be bad.
Was that also because of the Facebook IPO and the Wall Street Journal's sort of primary target being people who work in the financial industry?
I don't know. Here's an article from ZDNet, Spreading Facebook App FUD.
Backlash to the backlash.
The backlash to the backlash. Right. Selling you on Facebook, which is the Wall Street Journal article from yesterday, or the 7th. Yeah, that's yesterday. Ironically, found no problem. A Wall Street Journal examination of 100 of the most popular Facebook apps found that some seek the email addresses, current location, and sexual preference, among other details, not only of app users, but also of their Facebook friends, but don't get them.
Good for you, Facebook.
All right. I don't know what to say. Clearly, we live in a world where your stuff is leaking everywhere.
Yes.
Do you give up? What do? You go offline?
There's certain stuff I just don't put online.
Right. I assume everything I'm putting online is public.
That's a really good assumption.
Yeah.
But I mean, I had a political science professor, 20 years ago, who was like, assume everything you're saying is being recorded. Because she had worked with people who had spent a lot of time working in the Soviet Union. And in some situations, they knew everything they were saying were being recorded as soon as they left the certain secured areas.
There will always be an underground.
Right.
And there always has to be an underground because you can't assume that what you say in any physical form or any online form is totally as safe as you want it to be, mm-hmm. or is only going to the people you want it to go to. And that's so true online.
Right.
See,
especially with Facebook and people sharing things that you say and putting it out there. What you put out there, it cannot be retrieved.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because I think we learned about the privacy settings and all that stuff a while ago, and now the general public is seeing what's going on. They're like, oh, this, I'm supposed to be paying attention to this. So we get these incredible sensationalistic headlines or like, oh, your apps are putting out all this data about you. And we knew this for a long time. We just kind of like, duh. Like, we just have to go into the settings and do this, that, and the other thing. And so this general hysteria is about almost educating the regular person's like, mm-hmm. oh, I didn't realize that. I had no idea.
But the people who are getting this data are being so incredibly smart about it. It would be so easy for a company or an application that is getting data from Facebook or Google or your ISP or whatever to do such stuff that is so horribly awful that there would be a giant outcry. But most of the companies that get this data are so subtle with what they use it for and how they let you know or don't let you know that they have it that people are like, yeah, I guess I'm technically concerned about privacy, but I haven't really been affected. So, whatever, I'll keep putting my kegger pictures on Facebook.
What would it be to be affected?
Well,
what would that look like?
Money, losing money, not being able to buy a house because your credit rating has been damaged somehow that you have no idea about.
Yeah, but God, your credit rating gets damaged if you just look funny at it's so easy.
Well, I mean, it does and it doesn't. Or maybe,
not getting a job that you don't know about. You find your life just going south and you don't know why.
Would you know? But and then that's the question would you know why? Your life's gone south and you have no idea why.
I don't know what I did wrong.
What did you do wrong? You wore a purple shirt. In my opinion, it's a little gay. But okay, just saying. No, I'm just kidding. Not that there's anything wrong
with
that.
Now you can't take that back. See, now you're a homophobe and you can't take it back.
At least it was broadcast.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
And then the Senate knows about it.
Is it lavender or is it purple?
That's lavender.
That's what I thought.
It's a lovely color.
I wasn't
going
to say for Easter. I like it.
It's the name of my Easter shirt.
Oh, you look like an Easter egg. In fact, you match the peeps. That's it.
Peepaplage.
It's exactly the same color as the peeps.
You know how hard it is for a Jewish guy to wear an Easter shirt?
Eileen said, how are we going to get a panel on Easter Sunday? I said, just ask Jews.
There you go.
And then ironically, Joshua Topolsky had to cancel. So anyway, no, I'm just kidding. I know I'm just offensive and horrible. And please watch Game On instead. So, oh, I can't. Sorry, you can't.
One more.
There's a lovely Don Rickles documentary on Netflix.
It is, actually. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's one on Joan Rivers. Have you seen that one?
I have not.
Oh, it's wonderful. Are you guys? That sound was my
focus tones.
Yes, focus.
Eileen is like, you know, instead of a dog collar.
That's the
shocks.
Focus tone. Yes. That's the focus tone.
Tech.
No, I blame it all on the peeps. I had too many, and I'm crashing right now.
And you had a mocha, and you had,
I know, I had a lot of.
Did you have the cupcake too? Because Lisa
did.
Bought cupcakes.
I had a cupcake.
There's a lot of.
That's a good producer. You got like a list of this.
Actually,
like,
now I feel a little nauseous.
10 minutes.
Do you guys get Twitter spam? I thought the idea of spam and Twitter, they just don't. You couldn't have spam on Twitter.
Yes, there is.
Oh my God.
I mean, it shows up every few weeks, like little waves of it.
Yeah. So what does that mean, Twitter spam?
You just get links to things that are, what's the one? Someone is saying bad things about you. Right. Click this link, and then you get the virus.
And they use the at reply?
Yeah.
So they're like, at Rafe?
They want you to click on a link.
Yeah.
So that's how, here's the issue for me with Twitter and spam is you follow people, right? So you don't follow spammers. You only follow people
you
know.
Yeah, but your Twitter app will show you every time you're added. At Rafe will always pop up.
Well, stop. Stop that.
What?
Don't watch.
Well, I want to see when people are talking about me because I'm a narcissist, aren't we all? No.
So you, but you mean so you are you looking at people who are at replying you, or even just anytime people follow
well, somebody
you?
Somebody can basically be like, you know,
they don't have to follow you. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say like, you know, they say, you know, at Patrick Norton, and then the funny ones.
So they're putting this in the at reply.
That would be a normal way of doing it.
Well, yeah, tweet out anything with the word iPad in it and see how many app replies you get. They say, you could win the new iPad 3 or 4.
Testing.
And you always get flooded.
Twitter.
So every time I write about it, I have to make sure.
Spam.
Just put
iPad. What else? What other things?
What else could you put in
Viagra.
Yeah.
Or maybe I should just say I'm not. No, I probably shouldn't say that.
No.
You know, I think testing Twitter, iPad, Viagra, loan.
Loan. I need a loan.
Mortgage. Yeah,
I need a loan. A home mortgage.
And let's just sit back and watch.
Do we have anybody else have a spam? That
what other spam freight? What? How's going to trigger some spam?
John C. Dvorak's in the audience. No one gets spam. This is epic.
Okay, I'm just going to hit return on this. Now, what you're saying is because I tweeted that, and by the way, I probably lost 1,000 followers right there.
They're like, Leo, you've been hacked.
Because I tweeted that, I presumably now I'm going to get a bunch of at replies that say free iPad.
Yes.
All right.
You should
Oh,
be.
Yeah, look at that.
Seriously?
I'm going to be like,
somebody retweeted me.
That's probably.
There, you're right.
There it is.
Get your free iPad here.
I don't know if that guy is just messing with you with Stop SOPA thing. But
see, I wouldn't. I'd be stupid to click that.
Well,
right,
yes,
obviously.
But that's still spam. Because you're like, what?
But you're on an iPad. Or excuse me, you're on an OS 10. Can't be heard. What can it do?
I'm getting more spam from people watching the show deciding that they want to be
can
on Twitch.
I'm not a spammer, but.
Yeah, nothing. I got nothing.
There's one.
Have a free iPad, google.com. I think that's a fake. So anyway, Twitter has spent $700,000 pursuing spammers in federal court.
That's nothing.
That's nothing, I know. They filed a lawsuit against companies that create tools to automate posting to people on spam on Twitter. That's where I would have gotten flooded is just this automated. Oh, he said iPad. Oh. So they named 5 defendants: Tweet Attacks, Tweet Adder, Tweet Buddy, and then 2 people, which Twitter says are the biggest offenders in the spamming racket, arguing they're the arms dealers to those who fill the surface with fake profiles. Well, that makes sense. Go after the guys who provide the tools,
right.
And you know, you shut down the tools, you might shut down the spammers. So this is good.
This is finally
something they
finally
should have done.
I mean, Twitter spam is especially annoying because it feels like such an intimate medium,
right?
And the filters aren't set up there. So every time you see at your name, it's like, oh, this is a jolt of excitement. And then it's like, oh,
right.
Spam.
I think that it would hurt Twitter if they didn't go after this, because if you did have that constantly, like, oh, everything I'm getting is spam anyway. I'm not going to use it anymore. Mm-hmm. And then you lose all your users, and then your business is completely screwed. So
the irony is I'm getting more spam in my chat room offering free iPads than I was getting on Twitter. I don't get a lot of spam. Maybe people don't notice me. I don't know.
IRC spam.
New iPad Viagra app. Get it free now. See, none of this. Big gay porn iPad with free Viagra and fried spam on the side. Just boom.
Just give it 24 hours.
All right. Get the new Google glasses right now. Click here for an app to make your iPad grow 3 inches in just 2 weeks. Guaranteed.
That's the iPad transformer.
So I'm not actually getting a lot of spam, but maybe I just, I've led a clean life. And
I'm gonna try to fish for spam myself.
So you fish for spam on your account. I'll let you
I'm gonna get
take
all kinds of
hit.
Spam anyway, so why not?
Yep. Let's take a break. I want to talk a little bit about Pinterest. I'm getting calls from people who are worried about using Pinterest, saying, you know, because there was this lawyer / photographer, Kirsten, who said, "I'm deleting my Pinterest account. I can't use it because I could get sued." We'll talk about that. Well, we've got Australians in the audience, so we're going to talk about how the Australian government invented Wi-Fi. Isn't that cool? Thank you.
Or not.
And the latest on Mega Upload. They're pissed.
The
Mega Upload. DickKim.com is mad.
Not in the English sense.
And he's going to take a step. Let's, before we do that, talk about what to do if you want a new iPhone, a new iPad. How many of us have gadget closets or drawers, or in Patrick's case, entire rooms filled with old crap?
Sarah actually made me get rid of most of that.
Did she? Now, I hope she sent you to gazelle.com because you could have gotten cash for that, right, Sarah?
Not for the stuff I had.
Yeah. We actually tried to give away a box of your crap.
We had a lot of people wanted the box of crap. I just didn't want to pay for the shipping.
That's the problem.
Of the 45-pound box of tech crap.
Yeah.
Sarah's
darn
like,
it. Darn it. So gazelle.com, go there right now. Their whole idea is get those gadgets moving so you can get the new gadgets that you want. Visit gazelle.com. Now, I have to say one thing that they've done is they've reduced the range of products to basically the stuff that most of us have. The Apple stuff, Blackberries, lots of people with Blackberries, Androids from the big manufacturers, and Nokia. So they've really kind of narrowed it down. That actually makes it a lot easier because if you have an iPad, for instance, you just click iPad, click get an offer, and then you've got a whole menu of items here. I have my 32-gigabyte Wi-Fi iPad. How much is that worth? Hey, I'll take it. $280. Now, you can get paid with cash, buy a check, PayPal. My suggestion, do the Amazon gift card because it give you a bonus 5% when you choose Amazon. Their data specialist will remove your data. You don't have to worry about that. And you get the cash to buy something new. They pay the postage even. So, you know, and if you can say, is it good or is it flawless? It's $20 less if it's good. Be honest. They'll, you know, that's fine. Sometimes I've actually get a lot of messages from people say, you know, I said it was kind of flawed condition. They said, no, this is fine. They gave me more money than I thought. Sign up for the Gazelle account or give them your email address. They'll send you shipping details and they'll show you how it's going as the stuff is on its way to you. Gazelle is really a great way to trade in your old stuff and pay for your new stuff. It is fantastic and I want you to try it right now. Gazelle.com. G-A-Z-E-L-L-E. Don't sell it. Gazelle it. See if Patrick had only known. You have literally $5 or $6 worth of stuff you could have.
It's only Gazelle had existed back then.
Were there bowling balls in there? Things like that?
No.
Cannonballs? No hammers?
Hammers we keep.
Mega Upload says, you know, this is the company that was shut down by the feds for piracy. They say, we're going to erase our servers because we aren't going to get a fair trial. Mega Upload has... Now, these are servers in Virginia. They asked the Virginia judge overseeing the case to spare the data on its servers from deletion. They had leased 1,100 servers holding 25 petabytes from Carpathia Hosting in Virginia. The government froze the assets. Mega Upload couldn't pay the bills. Carpathia said, hey, it's costing us thousands of dollars a day to maintain these servers. and they go to the judge, say, you either give us money or give us permission to erase them and reuse them.
Mm-hmm. What I don't understand is why Mega Upload is saying if that data is erased, we can't defend ourselves, which makes perfect sense. But if that data is erased, it's habeas corpus. The prosecution also has nothing, isn't that right? So I'm a little confused.
Well, the government objected and said, no, there could be child pornography on here. So don't erase it.
Okay.
Not that that's what they're actually going after Mega Upload for.
It's very confusing. Well, you're right, Brafe. I don't understand
it. They have their own copy of some of the stuff on the servers anyway. So the fact is there's two copies right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's the one the government has, and there's the one that's on Carpathia's servers, and that's costing them like $9,000 a day to keep.
Right. The government has copied selected data.
Right, and that's why Mega Upload's afraid of this, because if they lose everything they have, they're saying that, what are we going to do now? We can't say that. Yeah, the majority of our stuff was, and this is how, because the U.S. is going to be very selective on.
They've cherry-picked.
Right.
They saved all the illegal stuff.
Look, we found a movie.
Right.
This man should go to jail.
Right.
The 25 files we found, 25 files were infringements.
So Mega Upload is saying that the feds should pay for the data to be saved because, in fact, it's part of their defense. And a defendant has the right to have that evidence preserved. It's in the hands of the feds. Preserve that data. If the government won't pay the bill, Mega Upload says, we'll cover the cost from our own funds. But in order to do that, you have to unfreeze our funds because we don't have any money. But this is a mess. And the feds are saying, no, we're not going to. The feds are basically saying, scorched earth, we're not going to give an inch. We're not going to give Mega Upload anything.
That's worked out so well in so many of these lawsuits. Well, it's also, I mean, you look at this and it's like, okay, so when are they going after iCloud? When are they going after Dropbox? When are they going after any tool that could potentially be used to violate copyright?
Right.
Because the other thing, the side of this, a lot of people are doing nefarious stuff on Mega Upload, but a lot of people are just storing stuff cheaply there.
Mm-hmm.
And they cannot access their data. They are locked out.
Right.
And that's just messy.
Apparently, the Australian government
they're not storing that data
invented Wi-Fi. The Commonwealth Scientific and Industrial Research Organization is going to get a fairly massive payment, $229 million settlement from Broadcom, T-Mobile, AT&T, and Lenovo, because Syro... It also got $205 million in 2009 from a similar settlement in East Texas because Syro invented Wi-Fi. apparently.
Somebody had to, I guess.
Yeah.
I always thought it was an open standard.
I thought so, too.
802.11, there'd be as Wi-Fi.
So Syro was founded in 1926 as the Australian government's research lab. Yes, we have Australians in the audience who are nodding. So it must be true. During World War II, it focused on things like food preservation, but they've researched, it's kind of like their DARPA, right? They've researched all sorts of stuff. Most of the budget comes from the government, like the National Institutes of Health. 6,400 employees, most of whom are scientists. Syro astrophysicist John O'Sullivan was tasked in the early 90s with building a high-speed wireless network. You know about this. This is famous in Australia. Nobody else has heard about this in the U.S. After many of the key technologies already existed, and the ultimate relevance and success of O'Sullivan's project is now one of the most heavily litigated issues in the history of technology. But these companies, not Acer, Atheros Wi-Fi chipset, Broadcom Wi-Fi chipset, AT&T, Gateway, Lenovo, T-Mobile, Verizon, and Sony have agreed to pay $229 million to Syro. Syro now says 90% of the Wi-Fi enabled device market has licensed its patent. Had you ever heard of this?
Mm-mm.
That's amazing. Congratulations to the Australians. Yes, there they are, ladies and gentlemen. I want my peeps back. Now that's great. Fascinating. I had no idea. The Australians invented Wi-Fi.
Are they asking for an ongoing consideration? I read somewhere they wanted like $4 per Wi-Fi chipset.
Wow.
They've gone way down from that.
Yeah, okay.
Wow.
According to the article, they've gone way down. It's OFDM. It's basically
Orthogonal frequency division multiplexing?
Yeah,
Very nice. And I'm sitting between two very smart people. I'll just let you two talk.
No, he's smart. I'm reading.
OFDM. Wow, that's interesting.
But it's basically, it's just one of the key ways that the wireless communication works with inside of Wi-Fi.
I wonder if they invented this little thing. This is something that was reported in the Brian X. Chen writing in the New York Times Bits blog said, I know. He's talking about Justin Watt, who's a web engineer who was staying at the Courtyard Marriott in Manhattan. And he noticed something odd. On his personal blog, there was just kind of this blank line. And he realized he's spent some time on the coding for the web. He realized the hotel's internet service was injecting code into every page he visited.
Mm-hmm.
A little research, a conversation on Hacker News, and it's turned out that there's a company that does this. It's a revenue extraction gateway, or an RXG, from a company called RGNets. The system rewrites every web page you're using on the free Wi-Fi at the hotel on the fly so that it can include a banner ad.
Oh, my God.
I don't think the Australians patented this. They wish they had.
Some guy in Jersey patented it.
Yeah.
Hey.
It's the online store selling the hardware to hotels to provide this service calls it web experience manipulation. They admit it.
That's good. Honest about it.
So apparently the Courtyard Marriott's marketing director referred inquiries from the New York Times to the head office and in New York, and the spokesman said, well, I'll have to talk to the national office. The automated phone system at RGNet hung up on them. See, and they didn't respond
Jersey.
To email.
That part's Jersey.
Yeah, it's Jersey. Apparently, no ads. Just there was a blank. This guy was smart enough to say, well, there shouldn't be that extra space in my blog.
Is this really that bad? I mean, if you're getting free
Wi-Fi? That's
Wi-Fi?
A good question. You're getting free Wi-Fi.
I mean, I know I was in an airport, and they're like,
ain't
you have
nothing
to watch,
free, buddy.
You have to watch an ad before I can get Wi-Fi for free
same
at the airport.
Thing.
And I was like, okay.
It's a little more obvious.
But yeah. I mean, if I would just wonder how often when we sign the back of something, on like, oh, I'm going to get my hotel room. And there are all these things I'm not reading.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. What if it's actually included in there? Then people are going to say, I had notice. And they
I am not going to read a EULA to check into a hotel room.
People yes. don't do it with
yes,
the car rentals either.
Oh,
they,
yes,
they
you
this,
will.
All no. those terms on car rentals, and nobody reads those.
I know. Either. They obfuscate them to hide everything in the legal.
And eventually you're just like, oh, but I don't care. I right. want the car. I want the hotel room. I don't want
no,
the Wi-Fi.
There is a difference between a pre-roll. So you sign onto the Wi-Fi, and you got to watch an ad before you get online. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between that and actually messing with the pages themselves. That's breaking the net.
I kind of agree with you.
Because who knows what can go
be
wrong.
Be more upfront.
Yeah. When you get in there and monkey with code.
Maybe it's having advertising inserted into a web page when I'm using the hotel Wi-Fi is probably the least scary thing about using a hotel Wi-Fi.
That's absolutely true.
You know, hang out with hang out at DEF CON, hang out with Darren over at Hack 5 and start finding out what people are doing.
You don't even have to. If you open your iTunes at a hotel, you can see everybody else's iTunes.
Yeah.
You know, we're all on the same network.
Right, but just to be clear, where this gets really hairy is, okay, so your page is now has an ad put in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that ad, who is running that ad server? What code is
right.
that ad?
Well, that's
ad
the question. What is that code?
And, you know, you're wide open.
They're inserting code into pages, and that's exactly
it's like
how,
going to Twit.
That's,
you never know what you can trust anymore.
That's exactly how that flashback Trojan worked. Mm-hmm. It inserts code when you went to the Netgear or D-Link site, D-Link, and it inserted code, and there you go.
So we should take all the computers off the network now for our own safety.
I'm never surfing
there
again.
You go.
Let's unnetwork everything.
As long as I can still use Pinterest, I don't care.
Let's go back with SneakerNet and we'll be okay.
How many Pinterest users are there here?
Active users?
Eileen.
Or account holders?
Eileen! Is the only one. No,
it's the man in the audience raises
his
hand.
And one guy who's wearing a lavender shirt. And after that, it's a no. In fact, it's only
how did you know?
It's only 57% of Pinterest users are women, which means, according to my careful calculations, 43% are men.
Or others.
Or other. I have a Pinterest account. There has been some talk lately that Pinterest is kind of letting you take the risk. There apparently, when you pin stuff and then the EULA and so forth, there's a big warning now that if you put copyright material on here, it's on your head. Let it be on your head. And there's a lawyer and a photographer named Kirsten who's gotten a lot of attention because she's saying she's tearfully deleting her Pinterest account.
I think this is great, like, social engineering on the part of Pinterest. I think it's going to be a paper wall between a thin, and when I say paper wall, I mean paper wall in front of a Mack truck. I think if somebody decides to sue Pinterest because of copyright violations, the one line in the EULA that says our end users are responsible for what they post, not us. Like, talk to YouTube, talk to Google's lawyers about that.
Right. Every site says you're responsible for copyright violation. Yeah. Don't do it. Pinterest does what YouTube does. They offer a DMCA takedown, so they're covered. It's safe harbor. This is just the usual hysteria. Why I tearfully deleted my Pinterest inspiration boards.
Well, this person is a lawyer, and lawyers look at the world differently from the rest of us. You know, if you've had a friend go through law school, you spend like 6 months of your life hearing about torts, which is basically like why a 5-year-old getting caught in railroad tracks in 1903 changed everything about seatbelts. And you're sitting there and they map out this really insane thing of logic.
It's a different way to look at the world.
Insane, and then you realize that the law controls you because we're in a republic. And then you twitch a lot for a while. And then you realize your friend's insane because they're in law school and you move on. But this woman's like, I'm posting images from this website that I think are pretty, but they're telling me that I am personally responsible legally for posting those images. Mm-hmm. And if they decide to sue me, then I'm SOL, right? But the problem is you already are SOL. The mere act of creating anything
and nobody's going to sue you. Come on.
Oh, yeah, except for the RIA, the MPAA, pissed off wedding photographers.
Don't put songs on Pinterest.
Okay, and don't put movies, and don't put pictures.
You can put pictures.
Until people start suing over that.
Right.
I mean, this has been the case for anybody who's ever blogged ever.
Yeah.
Bingo. And so this is the weird thing. It's like, oh, it's on Pinterest. So now people are freaking out. I mean, it doesn't make a difference. I've been through law school. And the thing is, I'm like, you know what? Go for it. If you want, if I already know that I'm responsible for this, every single time you do almost anything, if I start humming a song or I talk about a baseball game, I'm breaking the law all the time, apparently. But there are chances that you take and chances that you don't.
And no judge is going to say, oh, Iaz, you put a picture on there on your site. You're in deep doo-doo.
Maybe if it's the most famous thing and I deleted all the rest of them, you could never get it, and I've done something amazing, which would be very impressive.
Rule of thumb, Mr. Attorney Iaz Akhtar.
Which I will not give legal advice.
No, this is not. I'm not asking for legal advice.
I'm not a lawyer on this show.
He's already got a disclaimer.
But isn't it the case that if I'm not either taking credit for something I didn't create or making money on something I didn't create, that probably the damages are de minimis? No court's going to give anybody anything. It's a frivolous case.
Well, technically,
it's different if I'm claiming responsibility, like claiming I did it or I'm making money on it.
Technically, you'll be infringing, right? Because you posted
I'm
the thing.
Infringer.
You're infringing, right? You broke the law already. The question is, will there be anybody cutting after you? Probably not.
No, because there's no damage. It's de minimis.
The no damage thing, I won't say no. Very minor.
Minor, teeny weeny.
But yeah, so I mean, it's just a risk you take when you bother to do any of this stuff.
Taking the moral high ground in front of a couple of lawyers, that generally won't get you very far.
That is the truth. Pinterest, one of the reasons it's of interest at all, I mean, Tumblr's the same. Mm-hmm. But one of the reasons it's of interest at all is because Pinterest is now the number 3 social site. Last year, it went from 50 million users to 11 million users. In February, 17.8.
Scratch that. Reverse it.
50,000 to 11 million.
Well, it's ramping.
50,000 to 11. It's ramping.
I'm walking through the newsroom at CNET, and some two people are talking to each other and say, oh, send me that recipe. And the other one says, no,
pin it. Yeah.
Like, don't pin it.
I like
such
Pinterest.
A thing.
Number 1 is Facebook. Number 2 is Twitter. Number 3 is Pinterest. Number 4, LinkedIn. Number 5, something I've never heard of, according to Experian Tagged.
Oh, Tagged is the real deal. Yeah.
Then Google Plus, MySpace, My Yearbook, My Life.
My Yearbook's around still.
And Tumblr.
Tumblr's a social network?
Yeah.
You can follow.
Tumblr's very social. In fact, most of the features of Pinterest are really Tumblr. You can reblog.
It's Tumblr without a focus on.
I did a story on why the whole world, everything on the web is starting to look like Pinterest right now.
Wasn't Delicious trying the same thing a while ago? After those other guys, the YouTube founders bought Delicious from Yahoo, they showed this graphical way that they wanted to show links, and it looked a lot like this.
There's a JavaScript construct, I forget what it's called, which is going to get me in big trouble, where the whole idea of the kind of half-even grid, where it's even this way but not that way, has been around forever, and Pinterest has just made it gigantic.
It's like the newspaper.
It's a newspaper. Yeah. It's a magazine.
I still think that it's brilliant once they put ads in there. Like you can't, you won't know what's your friend's pinned, what's your ad. You're like, oh, that's really cool. That Nike ad's, wait, it's a Nike ad.
Why am I on fab.com? No, I didn't want a bid.
It just seems like it's really
so. Finally, I want to end this with something that I think it's just was a matter of time, and I'm glad it finally happened. Randy Zuckerberg launching on Bravo a new reality show called Silicon Valley, featuring, and I'll show you who it's featuring because I have a link here of the seven stars from Business Insider. I believe these people perfectly represent the people we know in Silicon Valley. This is Hermione Way, a video director at The Next Web and founder of NewsPepper.
She's a real. She's real. I met her.
She's a real person.
Yeah.
Ben Way. I don't know. Are they related? It must be. Founder of Rainmakers.
That's her brother.
Her brother. Yeah. Kim Taylor, account director at Ampush Media. They say she's the female Ari Gold. moved to California to do a startup with three ex-Wall Streeters who wanted out of finance after the crisis, recruited her from Chicago. Jay Hollanda, model, producer, and founder of a stealth startup. From L.A., Marcus Lovingood.
I'm not.
Founder of Future Leap, a social media production company. Dwight Crowe, he's a programmer. He's the founder of Carsabi. David Murray. Also a pro. There are only two programmers. Is this guy and this guy?
He's a programmer. Like
I did say
like,
programmer.
Like bronies. I was like, is that a
he's
thing?
A programmer. Look at him. That's a programmer.
So. That's if there ever was one. I guess there is one.
Yep. And Randy, who's not going to be on camera, she's Mark Zuckerberg's sister. She'll be producing the show. Are we ready for Silicon Valley?
About time.
It's about time.
I don't care how inaccurate, how good looking it is. If it makes brings glory to the geeks.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Because what Orange County Housewives brought glory to.
Now, how are they going to do this? Are they going to put them all?
Well, if you're going to go there,
but it is. But that's the whole point of reality shows is bringing a particular blend of people to bring out the worst possible combination of human characteristics, and then editing it carefully to make sure everybody looks awful. And it started. I have this feeling. If you go back to like the original MTV houses, that there's going to be this link
Big
of
brother.
PAs that ended up as producers that ended up working at other networks. And you can probably chain this entire diagram of the entire sort of ecosystem of television production around reality.
How do you make this now? See, I haven't seen the Housewives show. They don't all live together.
No,
in Big Brother, they're all like living together, right? How will you make this? So what do you just? How do you connect the dots? Do they all live together? Or are you just follow them around and they?
That's the magic, Leo.
I don't understand. You put them on an island? I don't understand.
I don't know.
I think they're just following them around.
They just follow these people around,
and their paths intersect, and they hook up.
Right.
Obviously,
they hook up. You gotta have hookups.
Damn right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here it comes, Silicon Valley. I hope you're ready, Bravo. How did Bravo go from being like the prestige, like we're gonna do operas and cultural events? To this.
But you have to see the trailer for this is just one of five shows, and they're all reality shows about industries like fashion or restaurants.
Oh, interesting. So that's the new Bravo
thing.
They
all look exactly the same. I mean, you take these people and you put them in the restaurant show. I mean, these are real people. But you put them in the restaurant show, it'd be the same show.
I only heard the trailer because it was playing on somebody else's computer. I thought it was a parody. I flat out thought, because everyone it was the same old reality formula, the same like sound bites and everything, and then Tom's telling me, no, it's real. This is they're really doing this on Bravo. I'm like, oh.
It's really, I mean, if you look at the Bravo list of
is
shows.
Is this it? I want to find it.
But can you imagine doing a reality show based on what Silicon Valley is really like? A bunch of guys sitting around programming all day?
Well, it'd be
and
really
going
boring.
Out and getting tacos?
Yeah.
I mean.
Or pitch meetings or VCs. I mean,
now, I happen to think pitch meetings are fascinating.
Yeah.
And, but.
Does
I don't
have
know
to do with those
but then
Shark Tank
you've
shows?
Got Shark Tank, Dragon's Den.
I searched
there are
for
shows
Bravo's
like
trailers,
work.
And this is what I found.
Those are awesome. I can't wait to watch that. I'm going to love watching that.
I love the internet. Okay, I found apparently a company that makes trailers. Is it Rio Bravo? No.
It's BravoTV.com.
BravoTV.com. Is that where the trailer is?
I love looking at the list of shows. Around the World in 80 Plates, Bethany Ever After, Don't Be Tardy for the Wedding, Inside the Actor's Studio, Interior Therapy with Jeff Lewis, Kathy,
Million Dollar Listing New York.
Wow.
There's like one non-reality show left.
Yeah.
Which would be Inside the Actor's Studio.
All wow. thanks to the writer's strike from way back when. That's what beget reality.
Right.
Little side
right.
note there.
And they're cheap. They're $7,000 a minute. $5,000 to $7,000 a minute instead of $50,000 right. a minute.
Well, MSNBC. What changed MSNBC?
Yeah. We were there. Mm-hmm. Thank God, because I wouldn't be here if MSNBC hadn't gone real. I can't find it, but we'll leave that as an exercise for... Actually, I'm sure the chat room has found it by now. Yeah,
it's
here
like
it is.
Somewhere
but I should just...
The middle of the video. That's the problem. It's hard to find it.
I see your post. Mm-hmm. Is it there?
Yeah, there's a video.
Bravo announces new shows returning.
But it's in the middle of the video. I just don't know what time it is. They all look the same.
Well, we could just run the whole thing, except that Bravo would then pull
Pretty
this off
behaving
of...
Behaving Badly, the Silicon Valley version.
No, don't write it there. Put it on your Pinterest.
I'll Pinterest it. Yeah. They'll Bravo has the shows you love.
Let's make this happen.
Yeah. It's too fast. I can't follow it.
Cue the YouTube pull down.
Yeah, well, we will, of course, but that's all right. Because you'd think Bravo would want us to air a promo on our show.
It's automated.
I think they do the five promos in this one.
These seven chic women are taking on the New York City art world.
I grew up watching Sex in the City, and I was obsessed with Carrie Bradshaw's life. I saw Charlotte, who works in a gallery. And
so
I
this is the art world. And then we'll move along and see what...
The scrubber didn't work for me.
He was like a shining star, and I wanted to be just around him. Yeah.
They're all the same! They're seven people! Somewhere!
That's the restaurant one.
Mm-hmm. Seriously, it's crazy stuff! It's insane!
We're going to change the internet!
Oh, here
it
is.
Like it is
high school, but it's only the smart kids, and everyone has a lot of money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
I'm in the other Silicon Valley, the shadow Silicon Valley, where not everyone is brilliant and we
ugly
don't
people
all have
do
luck.
Boring things right. and have a living. And...
That's right.
Yeah, I must have missed this Silicon Valley. Wow.
Well, it's the one they always talked about on TechCrunch, too, where every so often I'd read about an event on TechCrunch or somewhere, and I'd be like, really? I was at that event, but it was completely different for me.
Where was the hot tub?
Yeah.
Where was Sergey bringing his glasses?
It was Scoble and Shell in the hot tub, so, you know, okay.
Yeah, you don't really want to see that. That's Silicon Valley. It's a whole nother show. I want to thank Rafe Needleman for joining us today. Rafe is at CNET, where he produces the Reporters Roundtable and many other things. Of course, he's a writer also for CNET. Anything you want to plug? Anything at all?
Startup Secrets. I'm doing this series on Rafe's Radar, which is www.rafesradar.com, where you can see tips and tricks from people who are in the startup world for real.
Boy, I'd love to know that.
But you had to put the www in.
www is required.
Yeah.
Sadly. Is that a CNET thing?
No, that's because it's my domain.
Ah.
I haven't mapped it yet.
Brian Wong, I love Brian.
He's awesome.
He's like 20 years old.
He is, in fact. You have to see the picture of him.
He's such a kid. Well, I know, you know, he does a show on our network every once in a while. He does like a bunch of young people. There he is. He's great.
I said, Brian, I'm going to take your picture, and he does that.
I know. That's Brian right there. I love Brian Wong. Kip is his startup. So this is good. So these are people doing startups, Startup Secrets. I like it. Rafe's Radar, www.rafesradar.com, or just go to CNET and look for Rafe Needleman. Right. Thank you so much, Rafe.
Thank you.
Ayaz Akhtar is a regular right here Monday through Friday on our TNT show, Tech News Today. He also hosts a bizarre show. In other news.
Yeah, there's a lot more comedy on it than news nowadays. But so every week we cover a bunch of serious stories on Tech News Today. And then there are these stories that get bumped off the table because,
right.
you know, there's all kinds of big shifts and patent wars and crap that go on. But the fun stories.
The little fun stories.
The fun stories is what we cover at 4 o'clock on Fridays in other news. And occasionally we show you some inside Twit stuff. And it's a lot of fun. If you want to watch it, watch it. It's on YouTube.
Love it. Love it. Thank you, Ayaz, for being here. It's great. And watch for our new show, which we'll debut in a couple of weeks. After NAB, we're going to debut that show. It's a how-to show. And our first episode is how to roll your own cloud.
How to roll your own cloud.
It's how to do your own cloud. Not rely on Dropbox, but how to do your own thing.
I've rolled my own to make clouds. That's different. That's not what you mean, is it?
No.
Okay.
The other Silicon Valley.
Yeah, no kidding. Patrick Norton is at TechZilla with a K.com, and he's also a host on our own This Week in Computer Hardware with Ryan Shrout.
I am.
You can find that at twit.tv. And as a proud papa, congratulations. It's nice
Thank
that you could
much.
Spend your Easter with us. I really appreciate it.
It was fun.
Yeah. It's really nice to see you. See Sarah and the kids. Yeah. Thank you all for being here. We really appreciate it. We do this show every Sunday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time at twit.tv. You can watch live. We love it if you do, because then we can see you in the chat room. But if you can't watch live, we make audio and video available. I do apologize. You know, I got an email last week, and it was absolutely right on, saying you did the April Fool's show, and it was half video, and I'm listening, and I don't know what the hell's going on, and you're right. And I promise you, audio is still number one for us, paramount for us, and I apologize. I will try to, whenever we show video, describe what's going on. We will not get rid of the audio versions of our shows ever. I come from radio, and I think that audio is it. So the video is, I apologize about last week. The video is not the most important part. So from now on, listen. You could watch, too, if you wanted to. You got both. As long as you subscribe, I don't really care. Thanks to Eileen Rivera for putting this thing together.
Thank you, Leo.
Our top-notch producer. Stay tuned. The last episode, the Easter edition of Game On, it has risen and now it's over. We'll be on and we'll say goodbye. And they've actually put together a great farewell episode. It's going to be a lot of fun with some surprise guests, and I'm sad about that. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Another twit is in the can. Oh, my God. Is that a butterfly knife?
It's Norton's. What do you expect?
He's gone from a hammer to a knife.
First time you see somebody's finger taken off in the deck of a sailboat, you get really serious about the knife you carry.
Henry, this morning, I said, what is this? Are these brass knuckles? He said, yeah, I got them in Chinatown for $20. Watch. And it has a knife that flips out of it.
He actually has to get rid of that today, because if they pull him over in his car.
It's exactly what I said. I said, do not ever take that out of this house. It's illegal.
No, it's illegal in your house, too.
I know, but it's not likely the police will search his room.
But if for some reason.
Now they will.
Is he old enough to drive?
Yeah, but he doesn't have a license.
Huh. That helps.
Yeah.
I told him.
No, I know how dangerous that is. It's completely illegal.
Profoundly illegal.
Profoundly illegal. Like felony illegal?
That's
not good.
Let's just say if a member of law enforcement needed an excuse to make your life difficult, that would be a difficult
excuse. But now they can strip search you just for pulling over for jaywalking.
Yeah, can you believe that?
No.
Well, that's different, though, because the guy was in jail. They can strip search you if you're putting you in jail.
They can.
If you're being arrested. That's what you can
if you're arrested, but not even charged, now they can strip search you.
Yep. So, you know, because it's going to protect them in the jail in case you got something up your butt.
It's the whole mistaken arrest that's the
scary part. This is going to be bad for protests.
Yes. Oh, yeah, because they'll strip search you.
Sure. That's right.
It's like it's not a cavity search. It's just a strip search.
When they get to the point where they are allowed to strip search.
You say strip search.
You say strip
search. Leo, how do you think they find things in your cavity without searching them?
Look.
Well, yes, that would be nice, but then we have to have x-rays for all the systems, and suddenly
Now, this is interesting. In New York, the police take DNA if you're arrested for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Is that legal?
Sure.
That should be illegal search and seizure.
Yeah, but Bloomberg's got a really interesting.
But see, the thing is, the cops can strip search you. They don't have to. So hopefully there are some reasonable people out there that are officers.
It's a felony count. For illegal weapons, so I will throw that out.
So we need consultants to make you, for protesters, to make you unstrip search attractive.
Dress like this.
Yes.
Of course, he drove home from Chinatown with them.
Right.
Stupid kid.
God. Well, but yeah, to put this into, first of all,
17-year-olds.
If they were fiberglass.
Brains at all.
Here's the thing, though. If they were fiberglass brass knuckles or carbon fiber brass knuckles or plastic brass knuckles, they are legal under California code. Under California code, if you have baseball equipment. What happened was somebody got into an argument and we started researching because of a friend of mine. Does really interesting
so what can you what is illegal? What material is
baseball
illegal?
Baseball equipment is illegal to carry in your car if you are not going to and from a game or a practice.
That's because if you have a bat in your car, you could be using it.
Basically, there's a lot of stuff as
so that's up to the police to determine. Mm-hmm. Is that he's got a baseball bat, big deal.
It's 2 in the morning. I'm going to practice. I swear to God. Right.
Yeah. I mean,
24-hour batting cage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Where is it? My GPS. Well,
I did tell him as soon as I saw it, I said, please do not take that out of the house because you will be arrested.
Yes.
He also has a laser.
I mean, his life is now complicated enough. Should he have testosterone issues?
Exactly.
You know, because he's young and male, he's studying and get into a UFC. Scrap, and he's studying mixed martial arts.
Right.
Then he then in some parts of the world it gets really complicated. So.
No, my son is not committing an ongoing felony with demonstrable evidence still in my home. I'm relaying an amusing anecdote of a hypothetical situation. Thank you. Ken from Chicago, I owe you. And what did we talk about today? I have no idea.
We talked about glasses.
Google Glasses, Twitter spam. What else?
The Trojan, the virus.
And Mac Trojans, okay. It's time for Twit This Week in Tech. Rafe Noodle. Rafe Noodle. Rafe Google Noodle. It's. Oh, we're having fun this week. It's time for Twit. Rafe Needleman joins me with Patrick Norton, my old buddy, and of course, I as actor. We are going to talk about the latest news, including Twitter spam, Pinterest. I don't know what the hell I'm going to say.
Google goggles.
Google goggles. Google spam. Google glasses. Twitter spam. And the Trojan flashback. Okay.